Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we're about to talk some golf. Dan Reardon from KMOX joining us to talk PGA Championship. But a reminder, we are out early today. Ole Miss baseball in action, road game against Alabama. First pitch scheduled for 6 o'clock. We'll get you out there for pregame at 5:30, but we need to talk some PGA Championship right now. Joining us, so nice to join us, from KMOX, their golf reporter, it's Dan Reardon. Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We're wrapping up round two. What has been your takeaway through the first two rounds at the PGA Championship?
Well, since this is the first time seeing the golf course, my biggest takeaway is to learn the and respect what Aronimink is as a golf course. I walked the course today for the first time. I didn't realize it was as physical a golf course as it is. I would say, from a hilly standpoint, it's a harder walk than Augusta National because there are no areas where it flattens out. It just goes up and down hills for the entire 18 holes. So that was my first discovery. The second thing, of course, to get a look at what these greens look like, because all the conversation about this golf course has centered around the greens and the slopes, and they are really severe. You know, it was sort of interesting. I wanted to know, since they have these really hard-breaking putts all the way through the golf course, how you can practice for that. So I went up to the clubhouse, and they have a traditional practice green that has a little contour to it, but it's a large practice green where the players will work on their stroke. But if you go over near the first tee, there's an auxiliary practice green, and it's all slope. So the players will go over there and practice the kind of breaking putts that they've seen for the last 2 days in this championship. So that's about the facility. As far as the players are concerned, I think we've had two different days. Yesterday we had sort of what I called the Google leaderboard, where you had to go search on Google to find out who many of these players were. Today, the players have learned a little bit about playing this golf course, and now we have a good mix of familiar names and unfamiliar names.
Dan, that auxiliary green, is that permanent, or was it put in for the tournament, or will do the members also have that practice?
Oh, that's permanent, and that's there exactly for the members. You know, and I guess it's not unusual. I know that I've had a chance at St. Louis. Our premier course probably is St. Louis Country Club, and they have a Biarritz green, which has that big swale in the middle, and they actually built that into their practice green so the members, because that's the second hole when you tee off at St. Louis Country Club, the members can practice that particular stroke. So they're doing the same thing here, although the severity through this golf course is like no place that I've seen. For greens that are not, you know, at Augusta, they will tilt heavily as a group, as a unit. These tilt and mound, and they're just very different in that sense. But, no, that practice area is permanent for the members.
And at Augusta, there's the practice area that has a green, and then right behind 1 tee, kind of behind 10 tee, there's another green there as well.
That's correct. And here, we've got the same thing. Right outside the doors of the media center is the chipping area, and the players strictly use that with their lofted clubs, but all those greens are also contoured. There probably are four or five greens out there that are all contoured. So the players get plenty of opportunity to sort of execute the skills you need to be successful here. But until we got started yesterday, and you're actually playing when it means something, these players really didn't know this golf course. And then the weather was different. All of a sudden, you know, they had come on during the week and they didn't anticipate it. We show up on Thursday morning, and they've had a little bit of overnight rain, and then we show up this morning, and it's 47 degrees, and the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour. So there's been a serious amount of learning that's gone into this golf course, and I think we see them getting educated as the day went on today.
Two four-letter words here, and the pros aren't scared of the first one. Cold, C-O-L-D, but the second one, wind, W-I-N-D, it showed itself today.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable this morning. I was out here right away at the beginning, and as I said, the combination of the wind and that. And, you know, Scotty Scheffler, after his round, said he thinks these are the most severe hole locations he's ever seen in his career on the PGA Tour.
Wow.
Now, I think if he was given a chance to amend that statement, I think he would add under these conditions, because I think if, you know, he was catching the conditions in the morning. And actually, the guys that played in the afternoon wave yesterday had pretty severe winds also in the afternoon. So it was an afternoon wind in the morning. And until you got to about 10, 11 o'clock, the winds didn't abate at all. And so, and the funny thing about that is I think for the pros, they don't mind a wind in their face, they don't mind a wind at their back, but they hate crosswinds. And on the again, coming back to the greens, when you got greens where position into the cup is so critical, those crosswinds just make it almost impossible to be successful on the golf course. And that's what we saw this morning. It just savaged the morning wave for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Rory McIlroy still out on the course right now. It looks like he's going to make the cut one over now after a really struggling yesterday. What have you made after seeing him win the Masters? Now, the next major, what have you seen from him through these first 2 days?
Well, you know, we know he had the problem with the blister and the toe and that sort of thing. And he said yesterday that didn't affect him. And we did see last week at Quail Hollow that he had a stretch on Saturday where everything he had went left. So I was a little skeptical of how sharp he was going to be coming in here. And he frankly admitted he couldn't drive the ball at all yesterday. And then he finished with four straight bogeys to end his round. And my understanding is he's never done that in a major before. That's the first time he's ever finished around with four consecutive bogeys. So this morning was a critical. And the other thing we have to see about Rory is, and if you were watching the telecast, he was here probably for 3 hours hitting ball after his round yesterday. He was determined that he was going to come out here and be a better player. And so far through today's round, he has been a better player. He's one of two players on the course that hasn't had a bogey as yet.
That cut line, will it be four, plus four?
It looks pretty comfortable that it will be four. And you'll have right now, Maverick McNeely is leading this tournament at six under this championship at six under par. He's got holes to play. He's got four holes to play, including a par five at the ninth. So it could get a little deeper than that. But if he would back up and go back to, let's say, five or four, and the cut is at four, you could be just on the cut line at eight shots back at four over, mm-hmm. and you'd be within range of the lead. And we know this golf course could be had because today Chris Goddard went out and mm-hmm. said, we can shoot 65, a 565. You can do that on this golf course. That tells the back of the field, you've got 2 days, you have an opportunity to play.
Right now, 84 players would make the cut plus four. If it got to three, right now there are 67 players at plus three, so it could seesaw around. Dan, par 70 course, once again, par is just a number. Low man wins on Sunday. It doesn't matter what par is, does it?
No. In fact, there's a writer out there that this goes back a few years ago who wrote that in the entire game of golf, par is an artificial number, that if you and I went out and played golf, it doesn't matter if we're playing par five, par three, par four, so holes. At the end of the round, we would count up the total number of strokes and decide who had the better round. And there is you can't do that in match play, perhaps. But I guess you could do it in match play. But it is sort of an artificial construct if you think about it. I mean, what's the difference? What was it last week at Quail Hollow? We had par four holes that were longer in distance than one of the par fives. So I mean, how helpful, I guess, is that? Declaration that this is a par five and this is a par five. It's still the same number of strokes to get it in the hole when you stand on the tee.
Yeah. What did you make of the Garrick Higo situation yesterday? Got the penalty for being late. He says he was late, but not late, I guess, was the summary of his explanation. What did you make of that yesterday?
Well, I mean, these kinds of things, and I'll admit I was really sarcastic. I put something up on X and said, there's no truth to the rumor that the reason he was late is he was having a hard time tying his ponytail before he went out on the course.
That's great.
That is good.
Yeah.
But I guess the question is, should it be a two-stroke or a one-stroke penalty? But he was there like 30
seconds. I thought it was DQ, Dan. I didn't even know it was strokes.
No, and I asked that question. I believe the answer to the question is, if his group completed the first hole before he got to the tee and played the hole, he would be DQ'd, but he was always going to get penalized as soon as he missed his time.
Yeah, he was playing with Sean McKeel, yeah. Memphis Sean McKeel.
And did you just see his final score? That cost him. He's five over.
Yeah.
Final today. So that two strokes, that's going to mean him missing the cut.
That's money
that's
and
crazy.
Access
wow.
and privileges and all that.
and he'll learn his lesson.
Yeah,
he definitely will. I mean, you know, quite honestly, and honestly, I was sort of hoping that, so I could take a shot at him, I was sort of hoping that Justin Rose would be struggling at the end of his round, but he finished with a great shot on his final hole. But, you know, he's playing with these new McLaren irons, and that's really controversial. And I was going to joke if he missed the cut that the irons were only 36-hole clubs. They weren't 72-hole clubs.
Dan Reardon, that's a good line. That's a great take. And it was very Dan Jenkins-esque. He could have some of the great quips ever. And I think it was when Adam Scott, maybe the first player that contended with the long putter at Augusta National, and he quipped, "Nobody's ever going to win here with their fly rod."
Yeah, Jenkins kept that sarcasm right up until the last couple of years of his life. He was the all-time classic of taking shots.
He really did it. He's missed in that media room, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but he's also missed outside the media room. I had a good friend, David McIntosh, and he and Dan would always take smoke breaks. And so, you know, you could always find the two of them standing outside the media center because he couldn't smoke in the media center.
That's good stuff. Scottie Scheffler, I was surprised to see the nugget yesterday. First time he's led or co-led after one round at a major in his career. But a really good day yesterday, one over today. What have you seen from Scottie?
He struggled early today, and as I said, he struggled under the early conditions. And I think that, again, you go to that comment about the toughest pins that I've ever seen. And actually, he asked his caddy, and he asked Justin Rose's caddy, who has been out on tour for a long time, if they had ever seen hole locations as difficult as this. Mm. And the answer from the two caddies was the only place that they think they have seen hole locations this difficult was going back to Shinnecock. And that's really pretty severe. But in the case of Scheffler, I mean, I think we're seeing him, you know, he was one over today, but I think we're seeing him play Scheffler golf pretty well. The only difference that I would describe in the case, I mean, Scottie yesterday, what, he missed one fairway and hit 13 of 18 greens. The only thing I would say, but it may be the course more than Scheffler is, we're used to seeing Scheffler with the wedge in his hand, stiff shots, put them 2-3 feet, kick in birdies. And even with the good round yesterday, you know, everybody here is looking at 30 and 40-foot putts half the day. I mean, the talent here is the lag effectively, and then occasionally when you get close, knock it in. We're watching Jordan Spieth, who's still chasing this championship, and Jordan is hitting good shots and he has good putts, but nothing's going in. And most of the time, I don't think I've been to a championship where I've seen so many putts of over 30 feet from the entire field.
On Sunday, who's holding the Rodman Wanamaker Trophy?
You know, I'm never reliable in every regard. A guy who's, I think, primed to come back and do it is John Rahm. I think Rahm has that in him right now. And if you remember last year, Scottie had a 3-shot lead going into Sunday, and Rahm caught him at the 9th hole, and then Scheffler ran away from him on that final 9. And we thought maybe the problem was that Rahm, you know, was not accustomed to playing 72-hole events and was a little rusty in that regard. But let me throw a question at you guys. Is it time for us to start thinking that it's not important whether Bryson DeChambeau makes it back to the PGA Tour? You know, he's 4 or 5 over on today's round, and his last 3 major rounds are 76, 74, 76. I mean, how relevant is Bryson? And that's the only time he gets to play on this tour. How relevant is he to this tour if that would continue, let's say, to Shinnecock at the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I'm with you, and I will answer your question, but I'll also kind of rhetorically ask, how much does it move him to be back?
I don't think he throws a thing out there about the YouTube channel, and he may do that full time. I don't know how serious. I guess I've reached the point that Bryson, I don't think, cares about history, and that's a bad thing to have in the game of golf. And to use the person that I said, look for him on Sunday. I think Rahm does care about history. Yeah. I think Rahm has walked in the footsteps of Olivabo and Ballesteros, and that means something to him. Bryson's never walked in anybody's footsteps. Mm-hmm. You know, even Scheffler gets into situations where people are drawing comparisons to him and Tiger. And there's a great book out there by Bob Herrig about Nicklaus versus Tiger, that if people like that argument, it's worth your time. But I don't think Bryson is that kind of guy. And he's now past 30 years of age, so it's not a time where he's just young. And I'm not saying I just like him. But my request for Bryson is win, you know. And actually, I'll throw one other thought about Bryson. It's not unique to me because I was talking to Gary Van Sickle. Bryson, when he came on tour, said, when he came out of the U.S. Amateur, he literally said, I want to change the game in the same fashion that Arnold Palmer changed the game. Mm. Well, that was ridiculous, but he was young and stupid. We can accept that. But when he came out with that concept of the uniform length of all his shafts, and he's still doing that. Okay, well, that's fine, except since he's done that, there's not a single player on the PGA Tour who has done the same thing. So Bryson is saying, I know better than every other player in the game. And I think he's wrong. Mm, yeah. I think he pays the price for that, certainly in the wedges, but I think he pays the price for that just in general.
Yeah, no, I think you are right.
When not one is emulated, it says something.
No, it definitely does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely does. Well, it should be a fun weekend. We'll see who ultimately wins the PGA Championship. Dan, as always, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll do it
again
soon.
Quite a treat. Thank you so much, Dan.
Enjoy, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Dan Reardon joining us, talk PGA Championship. And kind of talked about that yesterday with Higo of, man, this could cost you. I don't know if we thought yesterday if it could cost him missing the cut, but here we are today, a really, really bad round for
money,
him.
Money, status.
Yeah, I mean, that is rough stuff, because 5 over right now, it looks like right now the projected cut is 4 over. So, I mean, you have those 2 strokes back.
And Dan Jenkins would have gone Dan Reardon and said what he was doing his hair.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That was good. That was really good stuff. But again, we're out early today. Ole Miss baseball, they're in action. Game number 2 of this 3-game series against Alabama. First pitch scheduled for 6:00. We will have pregame right here in about 11 minutes at 5:30. So let's go ahead and get to Moe's Crunch Time.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye!
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Well, Brett, what I learned today is everybody's still talking about Garrick Higo. He was the story of the day yesterday, and he might be the story of the night and into tomorrow once this cut line becomes official and all the rounds go final today, because that 2-stroke penalty was very, very costly. I was watching the coverage earlier today. I guess when it started on ESPN, they were really breaking it down, and they had video replays of him and on the putting green and making his way over to the first tee, and they had kind of the clock in the top left corner so you could see, you know, if he was really late, what it looked like. And then they showed him today, and he was about 7 minutes early, standing right off the tee waiting for his time. So he wasn't going to let that happen 2 days in a row, but it is something to see that 2-stroke penalty. It's going to cost him a weekend. It's going to cost him money. It's going to cost him notoriety for the weekend. So I mean, it's going to be something that he's going to learn. I'm sure he will never make that mistake again.
I don't know that, and nobody can say it might not have happened, but what would happen if lightning in a bottle, Saturday and Sunday, and he's holding the old Wanamaker?
I mean, we talked about it yesterday.
That's far-fetched.
Without the penalty yesterday, he would have ended the day tied at the lead. And instead, he was 2 off, and now he's not even going to be in the weekend. But 27 years old, I think if he is on tour another 10, 15 years, he will never make that mistake again.
You want to quit speeding.
Well, that's right.
Get a speeding ticket.
That's exactly right.
And if you don't, you're an idiot if you don't learn from it. What did I learn? I learned this. Week 1 for College Game Day is going to be in Baton Rouge for Clemson at LSU, and it will be the 500th game day show. The show's debut with Tim Brando as host, Beano Cook, the great Beano Cook, Lee Corso, the great Lee Corso. They were all at the desk, the great Tim Brando, all at the desk in Bristol for show one. It will be hot in Baton Rouge. Hope Dabo and Lane pregame have a good meeting at midfield, and they both can crack on Ole Miss together.
Yeah, well, yes, and they will definitely do that. What I could have done without, I don't know if you saw this story, it broke about 2 o'clock, and I never really saw anybody jump on it, but an ex-Abilene Christian basketball player has been banned by the NCAA for throwing games. It says that they have proof in December 2025 interview. Simmons, that's the player's name, Arian Simmons.
What year?
2025, and they did an interview with him last December. Simmons told NCAA investigators he was contacted by a second bettor about losing the game for money in January. Simmons and two bettors were included in a sprawling indictment by federal prosecutors in Pennsylvania on various charges. It says that there were a couple of games in March 2024 that he and a teammate agreed with a bettor to throw the game. Great. Glad that we've gotten to the root of it. Glad we're banning him. The only problem is he started playing college basketball in 2019. He was already out of eligibility. He was already not going to play any more NCAA sports. So I don't know what good, I guess, unless he had aspirations of becoming a coach or something, what good does a ban do other than, oh, we're cracking down
really
on it, we're
him.
Doing it. I mean, I read it and I was like, oh, good, a player's getting banned. And then I saw when he played and I go, but this does nothing.
He was there for the big upset for Abilene Christian over Texas.
Yeah, I guess so. 2019 to 2024,
the biggest
yeah.
budget differential yeah.
Oh, yeah.
upset
no doubt about it.
In tournament history.
No doubt about it. So, yeah. He wasn't throwing that game, I guess.
I could have done without Golden Tempo. That him in Baltimore yeah. this weekend. What's he going to do all weekend? Just trot around?
I guess so. Eat some grass. Do horses eat grass, I guess?
They got to eat something. Oats.
Something.
Got a big screen, you think?
Yeah, it's the hay.
It's a 1,400-pound animal.
I mean, he's got to keep an eye on it.
Big screen?
It's a good it's good scouting for him for the next race.
He's just out there trotting around all weekend.
Just enjoying the weekend instead of, you know, being a competitor.
Got his app up, making bets.
Soft horses.
Yeah, it's that generation.
Lord, honestly, it is.
Now, anything, if he bets on racing?
I don't think we can have that. I think he's got that. I mean, it's like you know, with any, you know, we always talk with Rob about how he can't bet on NBA. Right. I mean, it's got to be the exact same thing. He can't be betting on horse racing. No. There's no way that can happen.
That out there.
Where are you beaming this weekend?
Beam me too. The weekend at the second major. Cut line coming soon. Leaderboard will tighten up. Going to be a fun weekend. Look at Minwoo Lee. One major too late for me. Thanks,
right.
Minwoo.
Thanks, Minwoo. Yeah. You picked him at the right time.
Minwoo Lee and Earl Watson. Thanks a lot.
At the wrong time. How about this, Brett? You have talked so bad about it today that I'm going to beam there the weekend that is the Marlins and the Rays, our new favorite rivalry. Oh, man, this Rays team, they're fun to
they
watch.
Are.
And
Kevin Cash might be the best manager in the sport.
He really might be. I think it's going to be pretty easy for them this weekend against the Marlins. I think it will be fun. But honestly, we got a couple of really nice pitching
matchups.
McCullough's
a good young manager with
yeah.
the Marlins.
No, he definitely
Clayton
is.
Clayton McCullough, yeah.
Yes, that's right. And so, yeah, I mean, really good pitching matchups tonight around Major League Baseball. You've got Savage for the Blue Jays, who has a .68 ERA through three starts this year. Spencer Strider on the mound tonight for Atlanta. So some good baseball being played tonight.
This is the interleague we all kind of first learned about. Reds at Cleveland, Marlins at Rays, Cubs on the south side, Rangers at Houston, Royals, Cardinals, Dodgers, Angels, real rivalries, NBA, yeah. Preakness, PGA Championship, NHL, we got it this weekend.
Got it all this weekend. In the NBA, it's going to be fun tonight. Again, both games on Prime Video, starting here in about 30 minutes. Pistons, Cavaliers, we'll see if Cleveland can advance or if it forces a Game 7 in Detroit. And Spurs, Timberwolves, with the Spurs on the road trying to close out that series.
I may do one more deep dive on the schedule, okay. See if I can find
there
something
you go.
Else for Monday.
There
Y'all
you go. You're our guy when
audience
it comes to
demanding
schedule.
It.
Yeah, audience is demanding it.
I will speak for the audience.
That is right. Everybody is asking for it. But it should be a fun weekend. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, a little bit of everything over the weekend. UFL, if you are staying locked into the UFL. But a little bit of everything. And college baseball as well. We're going to get you out there for an SEC matchup. Ole Miss and Alabama game starting at 6. We'll get you out there for the pregame show. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday afternoon.